Hi everyone, I'm Pinakin Munshi. I'll take you through the legal aspects in supply chain management. Today we are going to cover types of intellectual property rights. So let's look at some of the learning objectives from this chapter. One is protection of intellectual property rights, the Copyright Act of 1957. We'll also briefly study the patents, trademarks and brands. So, protection of intellectual property rights, the various means of legal protection that you have for intellectual properties are patents, copyrights, industrial designs, geographical indications, trademarks, and the protection of layout designs of ICs. So, earlier this was restricted to the field of print, machinery design, pharmacy, and music. But subsequently, after the introduction and widespread use of internet, it has gone into also the software programs. Just to explain the things a little more in depth, so you have the various protections are, one is the patents, where any inventions etc. are protected. Copyrights are for any literary creations like books, or any creative writing. Industrial designs could be product designs, you know, it could be any product design which cannot be copied freely by other competition. Geographical indications, you know, things like we have this basmati rice, only the rice which is grown in India of a particular variety can be called basmati rice. Or only the sparkling wine grown in the Champagne region of France can be termed as a champagne. Or only the whiskey which is created or produced in Scotland can use the term scotch. So these are some of the geographical indications. Trademarks, you have the you know, distinctive logos or trademarks, like you have the M for a McDonald's, or a three-sided star for Mercedes-Benz. So these are all trademarks. So even these are protected under the intellectual property right. And of course, you have the brand names, because you know, Apple is the name of a company, and iPhone is a brand name, or iPod is a brand name. So these are again protected, which means that if a company is owning a brand name, no other company can use that particular name to describe their product. Also, you know, this design of ICs was covered under this Intellectual Property Act, because when this integrated circuits started coming into the market, the design of these circuits was considered to be very high tech. The challenge being of putting thousands or millions of transistors or semiconductor devices on a single chip of silicon. So there were a lot of people you know, who would just copy the creation of one company. So if I were to tell you, in the modern times, it is like Intel spends a lot of resources and designs the IC chip, and then other people simply copy it. So all these kind of you know, intellectual properties are protected by this. And as they said earlier, it was only restricted to a few areas, like, you know, machinery designs were protected, prints, art, pieces of art, sculpture, they were protected, pharmacy, formulation of drugs or the composition of the drugs were protected, music was protected, which means that, you know, if someone created a music, you could not freely copy the music or use it as per your will, because the rights to the music were owned by the origin, the creator. And you can see the scope is now, you know, expanded because of the internet, spread of internet. So the formation of the general agreement on trade related aspects of intellectual property rights under the GATT, which is now the World Trade Organization, has implemented the or accelerated the implementation of the intellectual property rights worldwide. What was happening is a lot of countries were not exactly recognizing the protection of intellectual property, India being one of them, because we were bypassing or circumventing some of the intellectual property rights. We were making medicines which were globally under covered under the patents by making it through a different route or by making it slightly different molecule. So now under the GATT agreement, which is now part of the World Trade Organization, all the countries are forced to accept this intellectual property rights. Let's look at the Copyright Act of 1957. What is the meaning of the Copyright Act? So, for the purpose of this act, copyright actually means the exclusive right subject to provisions of this act to do or authorize the doing of any of the following acts in respect of work or any substantial part thereof. Copyright acts are not concerned with the origin of idea, but with the expression of thoughts. And in the case of literary work, the thoughts in print or writing. So, what it means? It means that the people who have created a piece of art or a literary work, they hold exclusive right to what we call as the copyright. And they are not about the creation of a thought, the origin of the ideas, but the way the ideas are expressed. So it could be that there is a song, the song could be sung by different people differently. It would not infringe on the copyright, because it's not about creation of the idea, but it's how you express the idea. Same is the case with the printing or painting or sculpture. So all these are under copyright acts. So activities which are not copyright violations. So while copyrights restrict you from reproducing or copying certain works, some activities do not amount to infringement or violation of the copyright. So let's look at what are they. So reproduction of work for the purpose of functioning of law, that is for judicial proceeding. So imagine that there is a litigation, there is a case going on regarding the copyrights, and if there is a reproduction of a work for legal purpose, then it is not a violation of the act. Reporting of current events in newspaper or any other media along with the use of photograph. So if you are reporting something, reproducing it in a magazine or a newspaper, as a part of the reporting, then it is not an infringement of the copyright acts. So it could also mean that if there is an event and there is a song being played, somebody is performing live, and if this is being reported, then it doesn't amount to a copyright violation. Using them for the purpose of private use, research, criticism, or review. So private use could be, there is a digital creation or there is a reproduction of a painting. And let us say that you download this image and you use it as your desktop image. You're using it for a personal use, then this is not a violation. But you cannot use it in any of your presentation which is to be publicly used, because that would be a violation then. You could use it for any research purpose. That means if you're doing a research on a subject and for that you're downloading the image, which otherwise could be a copyright violation, will not be a violation. Or if you are doing it for purpose of criticism or review, that means you are critically analyzing and you are publishing a review on those items, then it doesn't amount to a violation. Reading or recitation in public of an extract from a published literary or a dramatic work. So you have any literary work which on a public platform, if you are reciting or you are quoting few lines from there, it does not amount to violation. So further to that, publication of passages of literary work for educational purpose. So if you're using it, certain passage for educational purpose, like for example, from a famous book, you have a passage which is given in the examination for testing the comprehension skills of a student. So that does not amount to a violation. Reproduction of any matter published in official gazette along with all remarks and comments. I think I don't need to explain this point, it's fairly simple. Reproduction of publications of judgment or order of a court unless it has been prohibited. So if you are reproducing the publication of a judgment or an order, so unless the court has prohibited that this is not to be reported, and you can reproduce this and it would still not be a violation. Reproduction of literary, dramatic, musical or artistic work in the course of instructions. So if you are using, I have seen a lot of trainers who use clips from movies or sound clips to demonstrate a point to teach the student. So this kind of reproductions, again, do not amount to violation, provided they are being used for a limited audience, which is more like a personal use and which is used to demonstrate a point or make a point. Making a copy to protect against the loss of the original in case of a work on computer only. You are buying a software, and the original CD on which the software has come can become unreadable after a while because of corruption, etc. So you may decide to make a copy of the software. So this does not amount to violation. Again, the catch here is you are only making a copy to protect against loss of the original. So you cannot use this copy and distribute it freely to your friends or somebody. If you did that, that would be a violation. The only thing is here you can make a copy to protect against the loss of the original only for your personal use. Making copies of computer program or adapting it for non-commercial personal use. Something similar, just a different interpretation. So what is the duration of the copyright protection? The duration of a protection is up to the lifetime of the author, and it is continued for 60 years after the death of the author. So this is true for all the literary, dramatic and musical or artistic work of the known artists or writers. So if an author has created published a book and 60 years have elapsed after his death, then this ceases to be a copyright. That means this book can then be freely copied. To give you an example, if you go on Google Books or some of the other book readers on the Android platform, you will find that there are some free books available, and you will find that there are some authors who existed in the early part of 19th century or maybe the late part of 18th century, late part of 19th century and early part of 20th century. These artists or these writers' books are available for free. That means you can download them for free. The reason being that these works are now out of copyright. So the copyright for the photographs or a film is protected for a period of 60 years from the date of its publication. So in case of films and photographs, it is 60 years from the first publication. So after 60 years, they cease to be a copyright. So we come to the assignment of copyright. The owner of the copyright in an existing work or the prospective owner of a copyright in a future work may assign to any person the copyright either wholly or partially, and either for the whole term or any part thereof. What it means? So the owner of a copyright, so assume that somebody is recording a song. Now he is the owner of the copyright. So he can assign the copyright to a person which means that he can actually, for a consideration, give the copyright to another person to reproduce the song in a movie or so. Brings me to a very interesting subject. There was a debate some time ago that when you have a song recorded by a music director, who holds the copyright? Is it the producer of the film who has paid for the music director and the songs, or is it the music director who has created the tune and created the song, or is it the singer who holds the copyright? Now, that there are still certain debates going on in this area, but it shows you that copyrights can also be jointly held. So copyrights can be assigned to any person, either wholly or partially, and also, like I said, copyrights can be assigned to another person. So you can, for a consideration, even extend the copyright partially or totally, for a limited period of time or for an extended period of time. That means you can allow somebody else to use your copyright for a consideration. The disputes with respect to assignment of copyright can be referred to the Copyright Board of Resolution. So in case we hear of disputes where somebody says that this was my creation, or I have created this story and it was plagiarized by somebody else, so in that case you have to go for the redressal of the dispute, for which you need to go to the Copyright Board. So now we come to the patents. So in India, a patent application can be filed either alone or jointly by true and first inventor or his assignee to the Indian Patent Office. And procedure for grant of a patent in India will be done by the office in accordance with the Patents Amended Act of 2005. The application will have to remove the objections by the office, if any, within 12 months. What it means? So, a patent can be filed by an inventor or a designer, because as we said, the patent can be an invention, or the patent can be a unique design of a product, etc. We took the example of iPod, which was a revolutionary design, or iPhone, which revolutionized the mobile phones the world over. So it can be held by one inventor, or it can be held by a group of people. If a group of people actually worked on it, then they could be jointly holding this patent. Also, it could be held by a company. Let me tell you, in industry generally, if you're working for a company and if you create any invention as part of your job, the company in the contract always says that such a patent or intellectual property will be the property of the company. That means you may be the inventor, you may be the scientist who has created something, but the credit, the patent, the rights are held by the company and not by you. So this is a good point to note. Also, when you file for a patent, the office will actually check whether a similar patent request has been filed by anybody else, or there is an existing patent which is for a similar product, similar design, similar technology. If that happens, then the patent cannot be granted. And if there are some objections, that means if there are some clarifications which are raised by the patent office, you have a 12-month period of time to remove those objections before a patent can be granted to you. The product patent. So the Patent Act provides for grant of product patent. Now, previously for food and pharmaceuticals and chemical products, only process patents were granted, and this meant that anybody was free to manufacture the same or similar product by a process different from the patented one. And this is what I was referring to, that in India, a lot of pharma drugs were being produced, Let us say that globally a company discovers a new molecule. Within few years, you found Indian pharma companies coming out with a molecule. The same molecule, but a different salt of the same molecule. And they would start marketing this product. So the original company has invested in the research, in the FDA approval, and a company could simply copy this, slightly modify the process. So it could be either they are modifying the product slightly or they are modifying the process and then calling it as a different product. So when you say that it's a different product, then obviously it doesn't, the patent laws do not apply to the different product. So this is no longer allowed. Now patent being given are the product patent. So whatever be the method of manufacture or the process of manufacture, you cannot have the same or similar product being manufactured and sold in the market. That is because of the change from a process patent to a product patent. So what are the terms of the patent? The terms of every patent in India is 20 years from the date of filing the patent application. So once you have made a product and you have furnished all the details to the patent office, from the filing date, 20 years is the duration of the patent. It is important to know that a patentee has to renew the patent every year by paying a renewal fee. Now he can pay this every year or he can pay it lump sum at one time, but this charges have to be paid by him. So, and there is a rider here that in case the application is filed under the patent cooperative treaty, then the term of 20 years begins from the international filing date. That means when the patent is filed internationally, from that date, 20 years, you have the patent. One of the companies that I work for, we have patented certain molecules of dyestuffs. And for 20 years, generally people could not make this product, although they may have had the technology. And when the patent expired, then the various companies came into the market and started making this product and marketing this product. So 20 years is the time you get to, you know, recoup or recover all your research and development cost incurred for developing this product. Infringement of a patent. So infringement of a patent consists of unauthorized making, importing, using or offering for sale or selling any patented invention within India. So under the Indian Patent Act of 1970, only a civil action can be initiated in a court of law, which means it's not termed as a criminal action. It's only a civil action which can result in penalties, and revocation of a patent can also be claimed under certain conditions. So just to go back on this infringement of a patent, you cannot make a product which is already patented using the technology or the structure, molecular structure or whatever. You cannot import it. That means if somebody is making this kind of a product, this product is covered under patent. In the country where it is being produced, the patent laws may not be enforced. But in India, if you import such a product, then you will be violating the patent law. So, for example, if you are getting an imitation of iPhone, it is a violation of patent law. Let me tell you that there are a lot of imitation watches of like, you know, Rolex and Tag Heuer, and these are available in Hong Kong. You will find these watches which are fakes and which are exact replica of the original watches. If you ever happen to wear a watch and if you go to Europe, or one of the countries which make these watches, they can not only confiscate your watch, but they can also initiate action against you. So this is as far as, you know, use of patented material is concerned. So this is a strict no-no. So you cannot use it. You cannot offer for sale. That means you cannot trade in products which are actually violating the patent. Patent Amendment Act of 2005. The Patent Amendment Act was published on in April 2005, and it is now referred for the latest development in the Act compared to the earlier version. We have the Budapest Treaty on the International Recognition of the Deposit of Microorganisms for the Purpose of Patent Procedure that has been adopted. So this amended act has to be referred for the latest amendments and versions. So some of the developments in the quest to actually stop violation of the patents. Coming to trademarks and brands. So we talked about so far original creations in the form of copyrights, and we talked about inventions or again some unique creations in the form of patents. Now we come to a slightly different topic, which is trademarks and brands. So a trademark is incorporated to protect the manufacturer or seller's exclusive right to the use of a specific brand name or a trademark. And a trademark is given a legal protection because it's capable of, it grants exclusivity to the person who owns this trademark. So some of the examples we talked about was the three-pointed star for a Mercedes-Benz or a M for a McDonald's. These are, distinct identifiers which represent a company, which represents a brand. In the case of Apple, you have the Apple as the trademark. So this cannot be used by any other company because it's like somebody using it is trying to pass off your product as the original product. Trademarks and brands are used by media to popularize and maintain the product identity and to accelerate the product promotion. So brand image is enhanced by these two means. One is through the trademark, because you look at a logo, you look at a trademark, and immediately you associate it with a brand, and also the brand names. So there are certain brand names which are very popular in the market. The moment you use those brands, you identify with the product, and you cannot use this if these are already owned by some reputed companies. So a brand is intended to identify the product or service of one seller and to clearly differentiate from those of the competition, and also to popularize them. I remember one case where our company was marketing certain pigments, and we were globally marketing this pigment under a particular name. And we found suddenly that in India, another company was marketing their pigments by using the same brand name. So, and brand name was not the company name. The brand name was a unique name given to a range of products. So we had to dig out the history when our company started using this particular brand name, since when we were marketing this product in India. And then we went to the court, and we got a restraint on the company from marketing their products under the same brand name. We also have claimed certain damages, but generally, as the cases, these cases run for years together. So by the time it comes to settlement, it may be maybe another 3-4 years. Already around 4 to 5 years have elapsed since this case has been registered. So the brand name is that part of the brand which can be pronounced verbally and communicated by the media. So a trademark it could be a symbol or it could be a logo, but a brand name is something which can be written. It's got a name. So To take the example, Apple is the name of a company, but iPhone is a brand name. Or Samsung is the name of a company, but when you say Galaxy S6, then Galaxy becomes the brand name. It's a brand representing a particular range of phones of Samsung company. So this is the difference between the trademark and a brand name. Trademark is a symbol, design or distinctive coloring or lettering form of a brand. So Apple has the Apple, of course, or if you see LG, it is a red circle with a L and a G inside the circle. So these are the trademarks, and they need not be a letter or a word or something. They can just be a symbol, like the M in McDonald's or so. The Trademark Act of 1999, the Indian law relating to trademark, as you know, has been amended and consolidated, and a Trade and Merchandise Mark Act of 1958 has been replaced by the trademarks of 1999. So the original Act of 1958 now stands revised by this revised version of 1999. Brands and trademarks have to be registered with the proper authorities to use them officially. If you do not register them, then somebody else can copy it. And suppose the other company goes and registers it, then you lose right over it. So, mind you, the brand names and trademarks do not become your property automatically. They have to be registered with the proper authorities to avoid any duplication or misuse by the competition. And the laws relating to this use of brand names and trademarks are regulated by this Act of 1999. So what are the offenses and penalties? So offenses under the Act are punishable by imprisonment and fine, again depending upon the seriousness and the scale of the violation. Such offenses include falsifying and falsely applying trademarks, applying false trade descriptions, or selling of goods or providing services with a false trade description, false trade, falsifying origin of the product or the impersonating a company. So these are all serious violations as far as trademark and brand name is concerned. With that, we come to the end of this intellectual property. Thank you.